The following broadcast is a presentation of the Mountford Free Methodist Church in Decatur, Illinois. Join us Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. or visit us on the web at decaturfmc.org.
We've been diving into this sermon series, Jesus Is, as we've been tackling who Jesus really is. And if we remember right now, we're going back several weeks, but we've talked about how Jesus is our vision. He is our vision. He is the one that that we need to always seek and always pursue in everything that we do. And what we've been doing is we've been tackling the different characteristics of Jesus. Who is he? How are we supposed to be more like him? Today we're going to move into and talk about two different things, grace and truth. We see in John chapter 1 verse 14 where it says that Jesus is full of grace and truth. This exemplifies who he is. He was a man full of grace and full of truth. We also see several verses after that. In verse 18, it says, grace and truth came from Jesus Christ. And so we know that we need to be that people, full of grace, full of truth. There's two words that the outside world looks at the church today as a whole. The first word is judgmental. The outside world looks at the church and they see that they are a bunch of judgmental people. The second word is the outside world looks at the church and they think that it's filled with a bunch of hypocrites. Judgmental people, hypocrites. And I think if we're completely honest and real with one another, I get where they're coming from. Because too many times maybe we go and point fingers and look at someone else's sin and we don't realize our own. We're so busy looking at what other people are doing and we forget about what we are doing. We're so busy at pointing fingers. And my mom always taught me, every time you pointed a finger, you have three fingers pointing right back at you. And I think that's what we need to start doing, is looking at ourselves. We need to be full of grace, full of truth. We live in a world that is going through many, many different things today. We see people who face many difficulties, people who live a lifestyle different from us, who has different struggles than we do. And sometimes as a church, we struggle with how we are supposed to treat them. What do we do? What do we say? And we look at these two words, full of grace, full of truth. And I see how some people are all the way on this end of the side where it's full of grace, where it's all about grace. So I'm going to love you, love you, love you, which is great. But keep on doing what you're doing. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm just going to love you. But you're not leading them to Christ. But then you have people on this side of the perspective that's all about truth. What you're doing is wrong. Look at the sin that you have in your life. But there's no grace behind it. One day, I think it was on Black Friday, I was with my brother-in-law and we went to Best Buy so we can find some sales. And we were standing out in the line that was wrapping around, and there was this guy with a bullhorn basically shouting at people of how they're going to hell and what they are doing is wrong. And people started shouting at him back. And I'm thinking to myself, this is not like Jesus. There's no full of grace there. He was all about telling them, trying to tell them the truth, but there's no grace. So how do we handle people? How do we deal with different situations that are going in our world today? It comes down to we need to be like Jesus, full of grace and reveal truth. If you have your Bible, turn with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8 tells us this story of this woman who was caught in the act of a sin. And I think the reason why we're going to dive into the story is the story shows us exactly how Jesus handled this situation, full of grace, but revealing truth. John chapter 8, starting in verse 2. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?" Let's stop there for a second. So we see two different types of people. The people of the law, and then also the Pharisees. We can sum it all up together of saying the religious leaders. So the religious leaders saw this woman, caught this woman in the act, and basically threw her in front of all these people to have her stoned. This was the law back then. We see this law, and if you ever look at Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10, it shows you the law. It says, if a man commits adultery with another man's wife, with the wife of his neighbor, both the adulterer and the adulteress are to be put to death. Now, where's the man? Some people think that the religious leaders are trying, or it kind of has set this woman up. That's why you don't see the man. The last time I checked, it takes two to tango. But there's only one person that they brought before Jesus. Because there's another motive for them. They wanted to get Jesus in trouble. You see, they asked him a question that in either way Jesus would have answered, he could have got in trouble. Maybe in one way, if Jesus would say, "Well, let her go," they would accuse him for breaking the laws of Moses, as we just read. Maybe if Jesus would say, "Well, then go ahead and stone her," they would turn him into the Romans because he would break that law of letting Jews carry out the execution. So what does Jesus do? The last time I checked, Jesus was a pretty smart guy. So let's look at and to see what Jesus did. They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis of accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. Then they kept on questioning him. He straightened up and said to them, "Let any of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. I've always wondered what Jesus was writing on the ground in the sand. Probably something awesome. I would guess this is just a thing that my thought as I think about this story. How cool it would be if Jesus was writing all of the sins of the religious leaders in the sand while they're trying to condemn somebody else. But Jesus is writing in the sand, and he basically answered the question the only way that he could. For those of you who've never sinned, throw the first stone. Now, today's society, it's very different. But the truth is, there are many times in our life where I feel like we might be throwing stones at other people for the things that they have done. Maybe it's not physically throwing a stone, but you're throwing a stone of bitterness. You're throwing a stone of gossip. You're throwing a stone of what you think or what you have in your heart. You're throwing a stone of judgmental attitude. Maybe you're throwing a stone at the glare of how you glare at them. There are many times where I think we throw stones. And I think there are times, God forgive us, where we're like the religious leaders. And we're all about pointing fingers at something that somebody else did. Where the Bible says we forget to look at the old plank in our own eye. Jesus, full of grace and truth, we're going to see that how he treats this woman. Verse 9, at this, those who heard began to go away one at a time. The older ones first, until only Jesus was left. With this woman still standing there, Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you." Notice that he came and he wrapped her with grace. Because the truth is, there was only one person in that entire group that actually had the right to throw the stone. And he didn't. But he showed her grace and love. And it's important to know that the grace comes first. Because if Jesus would have just brought truth first, or sometimes if people would bring truth first, then nothing goes right after that. But if we start and if we wrap everything with grace and love, then allow Jesus to give us that time to reveal truth. And this is what he does at the end. Then Jesus declared, here's the truth, "Go now and leave your life of sin." Another version says, "Go and sin no more." He's giving that truth to that woman. He's not saying, "Well, the life that you live is great. Just keep on doing what you're doing." No, he said, "Hey, what you did was wrong, but I love you. Now don't do it again. Don't go back to that life that you were living. Go and sin no more." And Jesus is calling us to that same thing, to go and sin no more. There's one thing that the religious leaders did right. They brought this woman to Jesus. And that shows us that no matter what we are going through, no matter what someone else is going through who we are talking to, that if we just bring them into the presence of Jesus, great things can happen. Full of grace, but reveal truth. We need to be the people that always act like that. Full of grace, but when the time is right, reveal truth. There are many of us today, if we look at our own self first, we would say, we deserve to be thrown into that group. We deserve to be stoned for maybe a sin in our life. The Bible says all have sinned and fell short of the glory of God. And for us, it starts with looking at our own heart first. And then going and being graceful and loving to the people around us and bringing them to Jesus. You see, when we bring someone to Jesus, His holiness can lead them to repentance. That's not our job. That's His. And He's the one that can lead him or her to something great. I'll close with this story. My oldest son, Peyton, a little bit, maybe a year ago or so, I don't know how long ago, he came to me, and both my wife and I kind of caught him in this lie. He lied to us. So he's in his room. I go to his room to talk to him. And I said, hey, do you know what you did wrong? He knew. Yeah, I lied to you. I'm sorry. And I was trying to think of a punishment for him. So I even asked him. So, son, what do you think your punishment should be? And he thought a little bit. And he said, I think my punishment should be going to McDonald's. That's not what I had in mind. But then it dawned on me. I said, okay. I'll take you to McDonald's. He was like, really? That worked? I said, Peyton, do you think that you deserve to go to McDonald's after what you did? No, I don't. But Daddy's going to take you to McDonald's anyway. Yeah, you are. And I said, Peyton, you know what they call that? They call that grace. Even in the midst when we don't deserve it, God gives us grace. And He loves us. No matter what we've done, He gives us grace. And He leads us to a better life. And He calls us to repentance. And He reveals truth to us. And He speaks to each and every one of our hearts. And He says, now go and sin no more. Don't go back to the life that you lived. Jesus is bigger and better than that life. But go to Jesus, who can take you and hold you, and who will take you to McDonald's even when you don't deserve it. Since we are all sinful people, we are all in the need of grace. And since we are all sinful people, we need to be people who are filled with grace as we treat others. Because there isn't one sin that is any bigger or any less than the sin that I have committed. We're all in the same boat. Just because I have a reverend in front of my name means absolutely nothing to this. I am a man who is a sinful man who is in need of His grace. Same as you. Same as us all. So if we can just be that church, that we are being like Jesus, treating each other full of grace, and when the time is right, revealing truth, leading and bringing other people into the presence of Jesus, some powerful things can happen. So let's be that people, full of grace, reveal truth. As a band comes and closes us with a song, maybe today you're sitting there and you're in need of grace. My hope and my prayer is before you leave today, you will find it. Maybe today you're someone who's in need of showing somebody else grace. I pray that Jesus, who has given you grace, will help you to give grace to others. As we come and close with this last song, as always, the altar is open for you to come if you need to. Jesus is here. Let's be present with him.